This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
Well, hello there, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once more. As you can see, we're prepared for another panel discussion today. I've got my colleagues again, Mr. Adrian Davis and Mr. Wayne Hendricks, Mr. Tony Buchert, all in for this particular shoot, and all commentators that many of you are familiar with through the variety of video products that we have throughout the internet, YouTube, Apple Television, and Roku, and so many other products that we provide these video services for, and for your enhancement and hopefully edification in drawing you closer to your God and walk with Jesus Christ. Today we have, I must admit, an awfully, what you could say, controversial subject. And we're all prepared here to talk a little bit about it because it has been really in the press quite extensively here lately especially. And it deals with the topic of abortion. That's being advanced under basically the guise of reproductive health care. And it's really, when you begin to think about it, anything but health care, if you know what I'm saying, when you really get down to the nuts and bolts and the details of just what abortion is. So before we launch into any of the discussion that we're going to involve ourselves with, I'd like all of you to take a look at this particular description from Dr. Levitino and how he does describe what he did for quite a few years in performing well over 1,000 abortions, right from his own mouth, being investigated, or I guess you could say interviewed by Congress, that was previously recorded on C-SPAN. So take a look at this, and we'll be right back.
I'll now begin by introducing today's witnesses. The first witness is Dr. Anthony Levitino. Dr. Levitino is a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist. Over the course of his career, Dr. Levitino has practiced obstetrics and gynecology in both private and university settings, including as an associate professor of OBGYN at the Albany Medical College. And Dr. Levitino, we'll begin with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks, but she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs. Head in the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you've pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. And you have a day like I had a lot of times. Sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations. You just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
Well, needless to say, this is a very sobering subject, and the description that Dr. Levitino described, in most cases, many of us are quite frankly ignorant of. And until you begin to understand the logistics of the details of this procedure, I think it really does become hard to agree that this is health care, if you know what I'm talking about. Tony, what is your comment on this? How does this hit you after hearing his description of a typical abortion that he performed for so many years?
Bill, where do I begin? It's so thought-provoking. It's so horrific. And I have to ask the question, why? Why do we even discuss things like this? Why is this even an option? Why are we being presented this to us as an option as reproductive health? I think of cruelty. I think of murder. I'm in shock. And I'm beside myself over this politicized issue of legalized. Let's not call it abortion. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it murder. This is murder. And to do it in such a way as was just described, I don't know how any human being could justify this. And quite frankly, I think this should be required listening material, viewing material for anybody that's thinking about this as an option.
How's it impact you, Wayne?
Well, I agree with Tony completely. But unfortunately, there are tens of millions of people in this country who do take that point of view, that it is not a living entity, that it's just fetal tissue. It's just a mass. It's not really alive, you know. And that really is the rub, and that's the whole key to Roe v. Wade, really. If the court ever has enough courage to accept the overwhelming evidence that life begins at conception,
absolutely,
then Roe v. Wade is over with. It's finished. They tout Roe v. Wade as if you remember, Roe v. Wade was a case that went all the way back to January 22, I believe it was, of 1973, and the Supreme Court, on behalf of Roe was a woman. That's an alias. Roe was a woman who actually became pregnant in 1969 and wanted to get an abortion in Texas. She could not get it, and over the years, she sued, and over the years, the case eventually ended up in the Supreme Court. Wade was the district attorney of Dallas County who was opposing that. So that's Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. And since that time, of course, 60 million and counting have been aborted. And it is a statistical fact that as heinous as it is, they have to keep records. And because they do keep records, we can know certain things. Less than 2%, actually it's 1.75 to 1.78% of abortions actually occur due to a mother's health condition or possible rape or incest. That means that 98.25% of that 60 million and counting occurred as a matter of convenience, birth control, if you please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So true. Adrian, how does that impact you, ever seeing that and listening?
It's hard to react. It's horrific, terrifying. It should be required viewing. I think it strikes me as the power of ignorance. Even the statistics, Wayne, that you just quoted, again, ignorance. I think that this would not be the issue that it is today if the public were actually informed. I actually saw the audience members as well. They were gasping.
So many have never heard.
I'm in shock, actually.
The pro-abortion lobby has been very energetic and very successful at keeping this information away from the public.
And it's so strange, you know, with all of the scientific medical breakthroughs, we have television shows, you can actually watch live heart surgery or brain surgery, and so there's this promotion of knowledge. But in this particular case, we're actually promoting ignorance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't find what you just described available.
Not at all.
Not at all. In procedures, in teaching how to do it, educational value from that type of procedure, you don't see that.
And I bet the young woman that he spoke about, she probably just went in, had her abortion, came out, and she had no knowledge of actually what the procedure actually is. And again, if she should see that beforehand, I think it would cause her to pause.
And what you're speaking to is the old cliche, of course, the devil's in the details.
And there you go.
It is presented in such a way in which abortion is, it's sterile, it's sanitary, it's just a simple procedure.
Like extracting a tooth.
Yeah, it's just, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
The things that we're entertaining in our country today. And while I don't give people a pass, you know, quite frankly, the pro-choice side of this has been very, very effective in the impact that they've had. They've lied to people. A lot of young women, even older women, have been lied to through this disinformation campaign. And they're really not making logical, informed decisions because they're not given all the details.
And we see ourselves as quite a sophisticated race. And yet this is quite barbaric.
Even the Supreme Court ruling about Roe v. Wade was based on a lie because they came to their conclusion, allegedly, based upon the 14th Amendment, which is all about privacy. And so there's this bizarre stretch now that a woman's right for an abortion is equal to her right for privacy some way.
And she lied.
And that's how it's guaranteed, allegedly, in the Constitution, which, of course, that's a lie. It is not.
Well, she said she was raped. And she was not raped.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, did not happen.
And really what is saddening about this is that it seems as though, and many of you are well aware of this as well, is that this particular movement of abortion is continuing to progress. It is a very progressive movement, a very dominating movement in our society today, culturally speaking, in Canada, in the U.S., and in the West here. And as a result, has actually now recently, laws have been passed, new laws, to the point now where the third trimester abortions can be conducted. Up until this time recently, really only the second trimester, I think, what, 24 weeks? It was primarily allowed, unless you were, of course, Dr. Gosnell. Who's now in
Colonel
jail.
Gosnell.
Slaughtered so many babies, you know, and aborted them in a very dirty environment for money and so on. We'll get into that a little bit later. But what I wanted to mention is, I don't know how many of you feel about this, but in respect to the progression of the legalization of now expanding abortion services, like in New York, where Governor Cuomo has now passed to the applause.
They were cheering.
Of the legislatures, as though this was something to celebrate, whereby now they can take a baby, and if I understand, and I've got a list here of eight of the major points, nuances, you mentioned, Tony, devil in the details, you know, of some of what that law that was passed entertains and proposes, of which one, you don't even have to have a doctor anymore to be able to perform this particular procedure. And you can have the baby actually born, like that governor, what was his name? The governor?
Nordstrom
in Virginia, where he said, and he's a doctor, he said, well, we'll just put the baby out on
Make it comfortable while we decide what we're going to do.
Can you believe that? And to your point, barbaric, you talk about macabre. I mean, this is just, it's hard to wrap your mind around this.
How compassionate. Let's keep it comfortable before we kill it.
Yeah.
And abortion highlights how our culture has changed on this whole point of view. Because when Roe v. Wade first was passed by the Supreme Court, at that time, even the pro-abortionists didn't try to sell the idea of abortion. It had to be early on in that first trimester.
Now we've reached...
Because it wasn't a human being.
Right.
Right. That's how they could argue it.
Now we've reached the point where the baby can be out of the birth canal, the umbilical cord is severed, he's lying on the table there, he's breathing, and then they will kill that baby.
They will
commit murder on that baby.
But they framed it as a woman's health issue.
Yes.
So the baby is not considered a human being. And now we're still having that framing, even though the baby is born, clearly a human being in front of us, it's still framed as a woman's health issue.
Right, and that's the ruse, that's the guise, this reproductive health care. And, and Wayne, the language you're referencing here, item three, is the law now allows abortion through the third trimester, including up to birth.
But I think there is an argument to be made, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Wayne, because you mentioned, was it 1.5 or 2.5%? Where it does have to do with rape or a woman's health. And I just heard of a case where I think it was an 11-year-old girl, and her grandmother's boyfriend raped her.
Okay.
And impregnated her. Mm-hmm. And say the girl's health is now at risk. What are your thoughts in that percentage where it really is a woman's health issue?
If there is an authentic risk to someone's life, someone's health, someone has to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And it will be either the one carrying that baby or the baby. From my perspective, life is sacred. It must always be treated
period.
As sacred. It is, the Bible refers to children as a gift from God.
Mm.
And we are created in His image, we're told.
Mm-hmm.
And from my perspective, there is no valid reason, certainly not to lightly abort a baby.
Not.
Yeah.
But that issue where you have an 11-year-old child, maybe who's too young to carry a baby, and her life is now at risk.
Well, sometimes the decision would have to be made to save her life. If it was your daughter or my daughter,
right.
I know what my decision
yes.
would be.
Yes.
Yes.
That is such an extremely rare event,
right.
Especially when you talk about, because a lot of the tricks that people use will tell you that it's needed for instances of rape.
As Wayne says, there's statistics on this, so we can actually see.
It is so extremely rare. That, you know, actually, it's less than 2%, and the real number is about 1.75 to 1.78.
Yeah.
And that's inclusive of the mother being at risk and incest and rape, all in that tiny little number.
Right.
And there are statistics to prove that when a woman goes through this traumatic event, such as rape or something like that, that there is such an imbalance in her chemicals and her hormones that a pregnancy as a result of that act is extremely rare. But if, in the case of, let's say, rape, let me just go this way with it. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, let's just put it this way. There are other options available to people other than abortion. Okay. In the case of, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, it says, "Fathers should not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." What'd the baby do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The baby is just as much as a victim as the mother is in mm-hmm. this instance. So there are other options that need to be presented to people other than this is the fail-safe, this is the only thing, or this is the main thing that we turn to.
I've always, to your point, too, you bring up in my mind here a law in the Torah regarding a woman who's pregnant and she loses the baby.
I thought that's in Exodus, actually.
Is that where it is?
I think it is.
Yeah. And there was a penalty associated with that, which indicates the fact that God viewed that baby in that woman's womb.
Actually, let me read that.
Yeah.
It's Exodus 22 and Exodus 21 and verse 22. If men strive, so two men are fighting, and in the process they hurt a woman who's pregnant, a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her. In other words,
it aborts.
This means actually she has the child prematurely.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the fruit,
okay.
Whatever it causes her to go into labor, and the she has the child, and yet no mischief follow. So the child does not die. He shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So he's put that life at risk,
mm-hmm.
even though it was born. And then the Torah says,
mm-hmm.
and if any mischief follow, so if the child dies, mm-hmm. then you shall give life for life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
very,
that,
yeah.
that is the penalty for Ratzak. Thou yep. shalt not commit murder, mm-hmm. and it would
exactly.
be applied, yes.
Mm-hmm. So as you said earlier, we are made in God's image.
Yes.
And so if you put someone who's made in God's image to death, life for life.
That's a yes. clear point, wouldn't you think, friends?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a clear point that God values
life totally.
In the womb.
Exactly.
I mean, why would you associate a penalty with something like this if there was no value?
Right.
In fact, to your point about God valuing life in the womb, if you look at Amos chapter 1 and verse 13, it says this, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." So the people of Ammon are going to be punished mm-hmm. for these transgressions, and God will not relent. What are they? "Because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border." So clearly God is saying, look, they're destroying the fetuses,
mm-hmm.
and I will not forgive this.
Right.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very, very good point.
And ironically, the pro-choice side of things, they want to present this in a way in which God is almost silent on this issue. That couldn't
he's
be
far
from
the truth. Far from slightly.
As a matter of fact, the scriptures that you just used oftentimes, unfortunately, are used to portray the fact that abortion is okay.
If they take it out of context.
If they take it out of context. Yes. Oh, it's always out of context. Yeah, right. It's never within the parameters of what the Bible's speaking about. But over here in Psalms chapter 6, there's a very important scripture that we need to look at for informational purposes, and especially those who are Christians. I'm shocked and beside myself oftentimes when I find out how many Christians actually believe that this is an acceptable practice. But in Proverbs 6, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything that's
more innocent than
not
the unborn child.
It's not a clump of cells.
Yeah.
It's not a zygote. It's not a fetus. Those are all just different stages of life that they have chosen to use those terms to dehumanize an actual life. Okay, and the lies have been perpetrated upon women.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A lying tongue. It's followed up with a lying tongue. I can find no more greater doctrine in this country of ours that has more falsities behind it than this thing called abortion.
Yeah. But admittedly, I think in all due respect to a lady who would be raped and unduly attacked like that and becomes pregnant with a baby that she doesn't want.
Especially if it's not a lady, a child.
Or even a teenager, that's right, or even less younger than that, because some girls can get pregnant very young.
Yeah.
The fact remains is that with this consideration, as you pointed out, I think, Tony, there are alternatives to afford the birthing of that and then, of course, perhaps maybe giving it up for adoption.
In fact, you think of all the couples that can't have children that
are
having difficulty going through the adoption process.
Yeah.
And 60 million babies have been slaughtered. Mm-hmm. To your point earlier about the image of God, look at this scripture in Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed.
Yeah.
For in the image of God made he man. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you were saying.
Right. And you think of the horrific carnage of blood and destroyed body parts. You relate that to the image of God. I mean, it causes
actually
a visceral reaction.
It does. And it actually speaks to the hatred of Satan for the image of God.
Right.
That slaughter is coming from the mind of
and
the devil.
And the destruction of human beings because of what we represent. You know, Wayne, you bring up an interesting point. Body parts. There, sadly, my friends, I don't know how many of you know this or not, but there is a very macabre industry that has cropped up and does work in parallel. Now, granted, there are legitimate reasons for cadavers, for research and for development and so on and so forth, but there's a black market that has developed underneath all of this as an outgrowth of the actual abortion industry, sadly to say. I wanted to share some things with you and with those of you who are watching, again, another video, just to essentially inform you of just what a large industry it is for body parts. We'll be right back.
It is one of the great miracles of modern medicine, the saving of a dying patient with a transplanted body part. But there is a worldwide shortage of organs and a surplus of poor people who believe that the solution to their suffering is not to receive an organ, but to sell one.
Would you buy a kidney on the black market if your life depended on it? Would you sell your kidney to buy a better life for your family? Well, this is a choice made by thousands of people every year. With a shortage of organs and the desperation of patients, the World Health Organization estimates that the illegal organ trade is a multi-million dollar industry worldwide.
So as you can see, this is a worldwide industry, guys. And there are a lot of venues that sadly are feeding this need for people who have the need legitimately for organs. And for those who want to supply those organs. Hence, a black market has developed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think of that, Tony.
Well, I think that's a very dangerous, slippery slope because there are a whole host of people out there. And look, I don't want to get political, okay? And our topic today can sometimes be looked at as a political issue. this is a biblical issue that, as I've heard you say before, Bill, and I think it's important that we mention this, that has become politicized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's so a moral issue.
It's a moral mm-hmm. issue, not a political mm-hmm. issue. It's become a political mm-hmm. issue, though. But I'm thankful that we have a president now in America that's really cracking down on this human trafficking. Because mm-hmm. I wonder how many people are part of this that don't have a choice in this. Okay, if you want to sell your organs, mm-hmm. okay, personal decision. But what about the people who are abducted every year and they don't have a choice, but they give them up unwillingly?
Especially the human trafficking
yes.
industry.
Right.
I mean,
right.
you know, I've heard stories, and many of you are probably well aware of some of these billionaire foundations,
Correct.
And I'm not
yeah.
going to mince words, yeah. who take yeah. advantage of and exploit yeah. many of the natural disasters like the earthquake in Haiti and so forth and hurricanes yeah. that leave hundreds, if not thousands, of little children orphans because yeah. the parents got killed. These kids get scooped up.
Yes.
They're not traceable. Mom and dad are dead.
Yep.
Families were hurt, separated, and so on. And in some cases, don't even know these kids were taken
yeah.
away
yeah.
and become
yeah.
part of a statistic.
Bill, it's important that we mention, we're not talking conspiracy here.
No.
This is real. This is provable.
Wasn't somebody caught at the border with the Haiti earthquake?
Yes.
They
were coming
and they
in.
With children.
Yes.
Which is another reason why we shouldn't have open borders, because we don't know what that's being
right.
used for.
Right.
It's for people's protection
yeah.
as much as anything else.
Yep.
You know?
These places need to have checkpoints
yes.
and need to have guards, and we
yes.
need to have technology so that we know who's coming in and what they're bringing.
Mm. Mm. I think to your point, it is a slippery slope.
It is.
Once human life is not sacred, then where's the limit? Where does this stop? One thing leads to another.
Yeah. Well, to your point, Adrian, I mean, now we're talking about dehumanizing terms, okay? A woman becomes pregnant. That's just a clump of cells.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a zygote.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an embryo. Mm-hmm. It's just an adolescent. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just a geriatric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're becoming too expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about a baby who is actually birthed. And now we're murdering it?
Yeah.
I mean, this was conspiracy 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So where does this slippery slope stop? Why do we even start it?
What annoys me is that same, was it a senator? What would you call him? The Nordstrom with his bill.
Governor.
Yeah.
Virginia, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
It's Virginia. Yeah. So he put forward this bill, which was outrageous.
Oh, yes.
Around a week or so, within a week of that, he was caught in blackface.
Mm-hmm.
And the media made an uproar over the blackface and silent on the murder mm-hmm. of a human being.
Yeah.
What a
but
misappropriation of values.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
And even that outcry didn't last very long.
Right.
Yes,
it's quiet now. Yes.
Yeah. So
he
needed a distraction. He needs
Why isn't society outraged? Why are not people picketing in the streets over this?
Exactly.
Yeah. They're desensitized.
Yeah. And that's a good
And how do we get there? How do we get to this point of desensitization?
Well, I think just speaking from a father's point of view, you know, our children come up in these parochial schools, these public schools, and quite frankly, what we teach them, it's not very hard for them to remove from their minds, and they are bombarded with this disinformation day in and day out,
mm-hmm.
and presented as options and not evil options, but good options. It's good for you. Matter of fact, I don't know if the the abortion clinics, Bill, we were talking about that earlier, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
It used to be on their website, and I don't know if this is true or not anymore because I haven't checked it out lately, but they used to teach young women that your firstborn was actually good for your self-concept to have an abortion.
What?
Yes.
This
and what's our...
Educational.
Educational. And what's ironic about that? God says, your firstborn... They belong
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, they belong to me.
Because that was a tendency of pagan nations to sacrifice
yeah.
their firstborn.
Yeah.
There's so many things wrong with this whole concept of abortion and that it's legal and Planned Parenthood, the ripoff of the American people, those of us who still have a conscience against this sort of thing. I resent the fact that my tax dollars
mm-hmm.
are going mm-hmm. to an organization that is doing these heinous things, Planned Parenthood. Not only that, are you aware that American money is also sent overseas, contrary to mm-hmm. my will and your
yeah.
will,
mm-hmm.
to fund abortions overseas?
Mm-hmm.
We have no say-so in this.
I wasn't aware of that. I know, though, that Planned Parenthood, if that traces the root of that, is Margaret Sanger.
Margaret Sanger.
And she actually put that whole initiative together to destroy.
Hillary's idol.
To destroy, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was to destroy African-American babies.
Mm-hmm. Primarily.
Out of her, they out were, of her they own were, mouth, yeah, she said, yeah, those words.
They were considered unfit target for reproduction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which goes back to that underscoring racist approach, yeah, toward things.
And, yeah, as you said, that Hillary Clinton said this is her hero.
Hillary Clinton appeared before Planned Parenthood and made a speech wherein she cited Sanger as her role model, wow, and her idol. Wow.
But here again, and when we talk about these things, and I want to go back to what Tony was saying, because this is a moral issue, my friends, and I think we need to get that in our heads. But yet, because politics, it has been politicized and have embraced this moral issue, consequently, this kind of a discussion on a religious
program...
It's
seen as political.
Yeah, yeah, it's seen, yes, as political. Yeah. And that is so absurd, and in some cases, incredulously just crazy from the standpoint, right, of trying to connect that dot, because in our history, if you want to connect a real dot with this, and I say this just out of kind of reflecting here a while ago, whereby slavery was a political issue, but it wasn't a political issue.
It was a moral issue. Exactly,
and
right,
there were churches in the 19th century that with the Underground Railroad were smuggling slaves in the north here, up through, mm-hmm, Detroit, in our, yep, case, we're in Cleveland, through Detroit and over into Windsor to give them freedom. And many would have said, why, you're a church. You should never be involved, mm-hmm, in that. But yet, nevertheless, yeah, it was a moral issue. So why wouldn't,
absolutely,
a church,
yeah,
be involved in this?
Very
and so,
point,
hence, abortion.
Very good point.
Abortion. Why wouldn't churches be involved in attempting to try to reclaim
if we believe that they're, if we believe that human beings are made in the image of God?
That's right.
Yeah, to your, right, point, can I interject a scripture?
Sure, yeah, absolutely, Wayne.
The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 3, makes reference to the very concept that we're talking about, that political decisions can have a moral impact on the people.
Mm. Yes.
And when a government or a legislation or a piece of legislation has some kind of moral impact on the people, do the elders of God's church, do the ministers of God's church have a responsibility to speak to that?
Oh, they better.
Well, here, yeah, in Isaiah, yeah, the prophet Isaiah speaks about the day and age in which he lived, but we can see how it fits today. Let me just break into the context of chapter 3 at verse 9, where he's talking about how the people have evolved into an ugly point of view here. The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. There will be a reward for the righteous. But, verse 11, woe to the wicked, it shall be... the reward of his hands shall be given him. And then in verse 12, this is what I was working to. As for my people, and this is important because he's not quoting from the priesthood, he's referencing, oh, yeah, the civil, mm-hmm, authorities. Mm-hmm. He's referencing the, mm-hmm, governmental agency,
oh, yeah,
that he was dealing with here. As for my people, children are their oppressors, women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, read Congress into that.
The political, yeah, leaders. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Read the 545 people in Washington, D.C., right, both houses of Congress, the president, vice president, the Supreme Court, it adds up to 545. Mm-hmm. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy, yeah, paths.
By virtue, yeah, of the laws
and
that they pass,
exactly,
and the legislation
we
that, yeah, we find, mm-hmm, ourselves surrounded by.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And what were the prophets and all those priests criticized for by God in the book of Ezekiel and so forth with regard to the fact that they misled the people. They didn't speak,
right,
up on the issues,
well,
you know.
Well, Bill, let's transition there. Let's talk about our responsibility in the ministry of what our role is in all this. Should we not speak about it?
Well,
I would submit to you we're required to speak about these, mm-hmm, things. We find that in Ezekiel chapter 33. That's in verse 1. It says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land for the people of the land and make man from their territory and make them their watchman. When he sees a sword coming upon the land, he blows a trumpet and warns the people that whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head.
That's us.
That's us.
He heard the sound of the trumpet.
And frankly, that's every minister. That is the responsibility for the ministry.
Well, listen to Isaiah in 56 in verse 9. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. Yes, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen, that's us, are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. So we should be barking. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain from his own quarter.
Bigger house, another jet.
Yeah. So I'm easily bribed. I don't care about what's happening. As long as I'm comfortable, God condemns this.
Yeah.
We have to speak up.
Well, you guys mentioned in passing here in the course of our discussion, Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to show you guys some footage here and share with all of our viewers some of the footage that is now no longer conspiracy theory. There are actual charges being brought forward. And the information that I would like to share with all of us here and get your comments on with regard to this organization and its involvement in the human body parts industry, which is what we're talking about, is just amazingly illustrative of the fact of what you were talking about, Tony, on how things are progressing and the desensitization of us people and how we feel about certain things. These laws, such as what was recently passed in New York, the state, not the city, the state of New York, is an illustration of how desensitized we are, because otherwise, if we weren't, it wouldn't be progressing now to allowing the third trimester to be the section or area where an abortion could still take place.
And it's a harbinger of what's to come.
Absolutely.
It's just one state for now, but it's coming.
And it's already happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this, guys, when we're doing our research, this stuff is hard to keep up with because it's fluid, it's dynamic, it's ever-changing,
very
and it's
progressive.
Quick, very progressive.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep up with the statistics because it's so fast.
Yeah.
It's alarming.
There is a saying that we're all familiar with that it's really appropriate. At first, we abhor evil. But then we become fascinated by it.
Wow.
And ultimately, we embrace it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that
wow.
illustrates what I want to show all of you right now.
When I last was here to talk to you all last year, I told you about how now, 3 years after the release of the Center for Medical Progress's undercover videos of Planned Parenthood's senior-level leadership callously negotiating the harvesting and sale of tiny aborted baby hearts, lungs, livers, and brains, those videos now have over 13 million views on YouTube alone and have been viewed many more dozens of millions of times in more traditional media. And in leaked board meeting minutes, the George Soros Open Societies Foundation said of these videos that they have, quote, upended Planned Parenthood, and that, quote, the video's long-term consequences involve the substantial eroding of Planned Parenthood's credibility and reputation. And, of course, the videos prompted two comprehensive, nationwide-in-scope congressional investigations, one in the Senate Judiciary Committee and the other in the House Energy and Commerce Committee's Select Investigative Panel. Those two more than year-long congressional investigations confirmed all of the major allegations that were raised in the undercover videos, that Planned Parenthood is selling baby body parts for profit per body part, that Planned Parenthood abortion doctors are changing the way they do their abortion procedures and resorting to illegal abortion methods like partial birth abortion in order to get high-quality body parts, and that this activity has been known about and promoted at the highest levels of Planned Parenthood for years. The congressional investigations confirmed all of those findings, plus found even further violations and wrongdoing at Planned Parenthood and their many business partners, and made over a dozen criminal and regulatory referrals for Planned Parenthood and their business partners to state, local, and federal law enforcement.
So, my friends, what is going on here? Wayne, what is going on? Can you believe this? Planned Parenthood now being brought under the spotlight on actually being caught in this kind of industry, body parts.
This sounds like something that the Nazis would have done. I mean, it's macabre.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's bizarre, and it makes me sick.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the very first time that I traveled on behalf of the church to actually give a sermon. I spoke on the subject of abortion, and it was something that was visceral for me then, and it's even more so now, you know. And when you hear this kind of stuff, that they're actually harvesting body parts and making a profit, it just, my words fail.
And it's not only basically corralled and focused and centered in organizations like Planned Parenthood, but there is now proof that even in some cases, funeral homes and things that do cremation services for you and I will actually take the cadaver and put it off to the side and give the family dirt that they claim is the person and then proceed to sell the parts like a chop shop. Uh-huh. Like a chop shop, yeah. Tony. It's just amazing.
Well, Bill, it's the very definition of evil. When you no longer are able to empathize with other human beings and have respect for that human life, you're evil. I mean, there's hardly anybody that comes back from that unless Jesus enters their life and touches, taps them on the shoulder and they start to change. But to those Christians out there, or even to the pro-choicers who might even be atheists, who would want to tell us that God is silent on this issue about abortion. There's a scripture I think we have to get to today to prove that that's a fallacy, okay? And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. Actually, I'll begin in verse 11, or 31, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 2, 31. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, or the land of darkness? Why do my people say we are lords? We will come no more to you. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore you also taught the wicked women your ways. Also on the skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. I don't know about you, but that's pretty... that resonates with me, mm-hmm. that God is very much against this. But to speak to your point on third-term abortions, third trimester abortions, what is that about? I mean, I've got a quote from the doctor that gave the comments to Congress. He also said this, Anthony Levitino.
Yeah.
He said, in the same testimony he gave, this is what he said, in all the hundreds of cases, the number of unborn children that I had to deliberately kill, zero. Talk about medical necessity, okay? And there's another OBGYN that followed him up. Dr.
Meaning it didn't fall into the categories that would justify or that many of the pro-choice people use to leverage approval for this.
The medical necessity, okay? Because
yeah.
with the modern technology that we have, Dr. Ben Carson was one of them, they're having in uterine surgeries, mm-hmm. neurosurgeries, mm-hmm. heart surgeries.
While the baby's still in the womb.
While mm-hmm. still
yes.
in the womb.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of somebody having to abort their child because of medical necessity is almost nil mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. But this other doctor, Omar Harmada, he said this. He said, I want to clear something up so that there's absolutely no doubt I'm a board-certified OBGYN who has delivered 2,500 babies. Thus, not a single fetal or abnormality condition that requires third trimester abortion, not one. It's either delivery or abortion, but never medical necessity. Medical necessity was my addition to that. But what he's saying here is, out of all the babies that he delivered, third trimester necessity, whether it be medical or whatever else they want to say, he says it does not exist.
That the mother's life at that time is really not at risk.
At that time, that is
with
a
the technologies
non-issue.
We have.
There's no issues with that now, so...
Or maybe rare cases.
Maybe extreme rare cases. But to your point, though, Bill, this is not conspiracy. You want to know really what's at hand? Follow the money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'll tell you what, this guy Gosnell, he was really an example of what you're talking about in terms of what he did and how he did. And those of you who are unfamiliar with this doctor who is now in jail and essentially is responsible for killing literally well, I think he was convicted on just killing about three or four, but he was convicted with many multiple charges and today is in jail and was indeed doing just that, basically using body parts and involved in so much of that aftermarket selling for profit.
And Bill, the murders that some of these men that we're talking about today, none of that was standing. I don't want to excuse that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful for them that they changed their mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful now that they're using that experience, as monstrous, as bad as it was, to now use that to change people's minds about this.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. on one hand, you can't forget what was done. On the other hand, the change of heart, I got to appreciate, because now they're able to educate people really what this is about.
Yeah, yeah. I think, Wayne, off camera, you had an interesting observation with regard to Jesus in the womb of Mary.
Well, it's an important one because I said it's the quintessential scripture from my perspective. It is because...
Proof of life in the womb.
Yeah, I would ask the question... To our audience, to anyone watching and listening, was there a moment in time when the Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of his mother Mary was just fetal tissue? or was he indeed the Son of God from the moment of conception? And there's some scripture here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, which is the Annunciation story. It's called the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel comes and he visits Mary and he tells her that she's going to become pregnant. Let me break into the context of what he said here at verse 30. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son." Life will begin, in other words, in your womb, and you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, which means essentially God our Savior. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" I'm a virgin, just a young girl who is a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit, Hagion Pneuma, if you please, shall come upon thee, and the power, the dunamis, the dynamic power, the reproductive power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." Episkiazo is the word. It means to cover thee, and as a result of that, you will become pregnant. Therefore, also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then it goes on to talk about a situation with Elizabeth, mm-hmm. who was pregnant with John mm-hmm. the Baptist, and the Lord's mother Mary here. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her," wow. "who was called barren." So she's got a six-month-old baby in
going
the
womb. Into the third trimester.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Good point.
"For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth
wow.
was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. For as lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the fetal tissue, the babe leaped in my womb."
That's validation.
And also, can you clarify how old would Christ have been in the womb if John was 6 months?
Well, the Lord would have also been there in the womb at this point.
But weren't they not 6 months apart?
Yeah. They were indeed 6 months apart.
So he would have been a zygote. And John,
so
the fetus is recognizing.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So we're seeing
the presence
here
of the Lord.
Yes.
We got a graph now. We can
yes.
graph this thing.
Oh, yeah.
We got a zygote at the beginning.
Yes.
That's Christ at this
uh-huh.
point, using
yes.
this story as our example, as our underpinning graph.
And 6 months later, we have a viable baby.
Beginning of the
third trimester. Exactly.
Hey, these scriptures, these very pertinent scriptures and sobering scriptures that Wayne just read, they beg another question when it comes to when does life begin.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus Mary conceived Jesus in her womb, at what point was he protected mm-hmm. by his father?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't protect him because he's just a clump of cells. I submit at the point of conception.
Yeah.
He was bringing Jesus to fruition.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Now, with all this being said, and I want to present this too, could we, with the advent of this, and we're going to put it up on the screen, this arch temple, actually the arch of a temple of Baal being erected in New York, have any kind of esoteric, what do you think? Is there some kind of meaning here of where our society is going? What in the world are we thinking to afford ourselves here in this United States of America to erect, and this isn't any small replica of this entrance way into the Temple of Baal that the Israelites essentially went in and sacrificed their kids to the god Molech, the Canaanite god Molech. So my point is in all this is that could this be some kind of harbinger of where we're going and what we're doing? And is it indeed something like an omen of sort that we need to be aware of and alerted to that it's kind of sealing our fate that... I mean, we're almost, what you could say, putting our fingers in God's eyes by approving this kind of stuff. And there's one, if I understand correctly, in London, in addition.
Well, God brought judgment against ancient Israel because they passed their babies through the fire to Molech. And we are passing our babies now through the fire in the abortion clinic,
mm-hmm.
or now harvesting them, not even burning them. Well, now we're harvesting them. But in the book of Ezekiel, we have a quote from the Lord here that's very pertinent. In Ezekiel chapter 16, at verse 20, you have taken my sons and daughters, whom thou hast born unto me. My sons and daughters. God's personal mm-hmm. about this.
Yeah.
That you've born unto me, and thou hast sacrificed unto them unto be devoured. Is this thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thine abominations and the whoredoms thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. So,
Pretty sobering statement.
Absolutely.
Pretty sobering statement.
Yes.
I think, Bill, that clip that you showed us... I think conspiracy theory is a great way to shut people up. You know, so somebody's trying to tell us a conspiracy theory, and we're very dismissive.
That's right.
So there's conspiracy theory, and there's conspiracy fact. And what David Delighton showed was fact.
Fact.
People are conspiring, mm-hmm. and we don't know. So knowingly or unknowingly, as a society, we are involved in the worship of Molech and the worship of Baal. And I think these buildings that are being erected, I think we have to be distrustful of the elite. When we see conspiracy fact coming out, and David Delighton said the most senior people in Planned Parenthood were behind this. So it's very hard to trust the elite when we see these conspiracy facts coming out. And I think generally when they build monuments like this, they are broadcasting what they are doing. And so I think at the highest levels, it indicates the worship of Baal and Molech at the highest levels.
Aware that they're doing it.
Fully aware. Whereas the masses are participating in this worship ritual unknowingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know what scares me about this, guys? And for you out there, our viewers, what scares me about this is organizations like Planned Parenthood and other foundations that are involved with different charitable works and so on. How much of this is known in politics, and you mentioned the elite, and many people will say, well, who are the elite? Well, the elite are today, in many respects, our politicians. They're very rich people, and they're very elitist in many ways. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, the question that tumbles to my mind immediately, and I would think to some of you, is how can even an organization like Planned Parenthood, which appears now to be caught with their hand in the cookie jar, metaphorically speaking, get away with this without being known, because they're using government money. They're government subsidized by many of the services that they provide. So somebody's got to know the inner workings of this, or has known, you would think.
You would think so.
You know, you would think.
We can certainly come to a logical conclusion that the vast majority of the populace isn't a part of this, because you want to talk specifically about this third trimester abortion, whether you're talking about people who are pro-life. And even people who are on the pro-choice side of this, only 13% are in agreement with this third trimester
abortion. Oh, is that right?
Yes, only 13%. And to speak to your point as far as how do we come to a point where we embrace things like this, like the arches of Baal and things like this. Unfortunately, Bills, we know this is nothing new. Mm-hmm. As the saying goes, if you forget history, you're destined to repeat it. Mm-hmm. And ancient Israel was no different. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah talks about this in 19. In verse 1, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priest and go out into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potter gate, and proclaim that there were the words that I will tell you." Now, it's interesting, the valley of the son of Hinnom, that's in where the bodies of not only criminals and people who were put to death for various crimes, but trash and rubbish were thrown into.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's where the sacrifices of Molech occurred, and babies' bodies
right.
were in there.
It
gives new meaning to Psalms 22, and David stood out there and said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death." You know, he was witnessing these things. And now we have Israel embracing Baal, and we'll just skip on down here. "Because they have forsaken me," in verse 4, "made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with the fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it even come into my mind."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely repeating this.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why people say, why doesn't God specifically speak out against abortion? Number one, that's ignorance on the scriptures, because he does. Mm-hmm. But number two, here God is saying, why are we even talking about this? This is so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This should not even be an issue.
And to your point, Tony, this is exactly what concerns me. And if it doesn't concern you, I would think many of our viewers should be concerned about this very fact that due to the fact, and I'm not going to kind of turn us into a prophetic discussion or narration here, but due to the fact that both these arches have been erected in London and in New York, and as we understand the identities of modern-day Israel being that of Ephraim, the UK, as well as Manasseh here in the United States, and the fact, even if you don't adopt that, you have to admit we have adopted the God of Israel as a culture and a society. And with that being said, when you look at the voices of the prophets, even God himself, through the prophet Jeremiah especially, says, and he goes down through this litany of sins and transgressions and things, and then he says, "Will I not visit people who are guilty of these things?"
And it really speaks to the burden we have to expose this.
Exactly.
And when people are shown facts, that's going to change their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have a responsibility to speak and show my people their sins.
Yeah. And you made a great point there, Bill. You referenced the fact that really, in reality, I believe that we are indeed modern-day Israel, America and Britain. We are Jacob. I believe that. But even if that's not so, philosophically,
the God of Jacob has been adopted.
And metaphorically, certainly we are, because we have embraced the God of Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are experiencing blessings over and above any other nation.
Yeah.
So even from a philosophical point of view, we are indeed modern-day Israel.
Mm-hmm.
There was a consequence to the people who embraced God and then did not
live up to
it. That same consequence will come from a God who does not change.
Oh, and Nebuchadnezzar was a good illustration of that, because here's a Gentile, and he was taken down and given the mind of an animal there because he was standing before God. He wasn't an Israelite. Mm-hmm. You know, he's from Babylon.
Yeah. Well, have you guys ever just stopped to consider why Jesus chose the Mount of Olives to return? Demographically, if you look at the Mount of Olives, it resides right at the very end of the Valley of Hinnom.
Oh,
you know that as you would look at that, too, as you're facing the Mount of Olives from the Valley of Hinnom, to the left of that's the Garden of Gethsemane.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and God transitions this from what he used to call it, the Valley of Hinnom, to this. He says, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter." He has not forgotten. He has not forgotten the infanticide.
And that goes to the point that I was making.
Yes.
Well, time's run out on us, and as you can see, this topic is going to be discussed, I'm sure, in the future, as we have covered many, many points. on this subject of abortion. But before we leave, I wanted to take opportunity to present to you a free offer that we have, and we'd like to offer that to every one of you. Just hitting us on our website, you can obtain this particular piece of literature at www.cgi.org or call us there at that 888 number and request this booklet, Man's Awesome Destiny. It's a booklet, my friends, that is going to go into such detail, hoping to infuse you with the reality of knowing the value of your human life and all those human lives that may be in the wombs of you ladies who are right now carrying children. Read this booklet. Get it as soon as you can. Give us your information. We'll get it off to you in a couple of weeks. Or let me recommend this. Go to our CGI Digital Network and go ahead and download the app there at iTunes App Store or Google Play or Amazon and get it almost immediately. You can download it there for your convenience and be able to get into this information as soon as you can. And also, go ahead and don't forget, look us up on Apple TV or as well, Roku. We have plenty of information there as well, again, for your edification and enhancement in your relationship with God and a closeness to Jesus Christ that we all really do hope you will be able to acquire. Life is so important, my friends. Life is really so important, and we need to learn how to value this life and our destiny. Once you couple it with what our destiny is and when you really know what it involves, boy, I can't believe that you wouldn't be motivated to take care of those little children in the wombs of many of our wives and ladies throughout the world. But with that being said, as we often always do, let me take this moment to remind all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you can stand in this evil world.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.